Good evening.
Good evening.
For those of you who are at Rayleigh this morning, you may or may not be pleased to know I'm preaching on the same theme, but a different sermon. So you have to stay away. Sorry. This month, all of our sermons are on the theme, Go and Be the Church. And we are considering a specific part of the church vision statement each week. Let's look at the vision statement itself. A community that loves Jesus, where everyone is welcomed, faith grows, and hearts are generous. My sermon this evening is entitled, Go and Welcome Everyone. The Gospel of Radical Hospitality. Let me start with a question. Who do you struggle to welcome?
You.
Me. Is it perhaps the person who doesn't fit your idea of respectable? Is it someone who dresses differently? Is it someone who worships differently? Or maybe you struggle to welcome someone who's wronged you in some way. Whoever it is, God expects all of us to go and welcome everyone. The church is not called to be a museum of the like-minded. It's called to be a home for the broken, a family for the lonely, a refuge for the lost. And if that makes us uncomfortable, well, that's the idea. It's not about us being comfortable. It's all about us reaching those who are lost. It's all about us sharing truth with those who don't know what truth is. It's about proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way we will ever get to share the truth with someone is if we actually welcome them in. Now, there are many that will perhaps check us out online. Now, we have followers around the world on our YouTube channels, on our podcasts, on our Facebook page. But there are people who have discovered us as a local church and come in because of what they've seen, what they've read. They've felt comfortable enough to step in through the door. But once they're in, it's up to us to actually welcome them. It's up to us to greet them. It's up to us to actually smile and look like we want them to be in the same room that we're in. Rejection is a terrible thing. Maybe there's some time in your life where you felt rejected by someone. I remember when I was applying for work in the secular world, every time I got an email or a post through the door that said, no, we're going a different direction, I felt rejected. But people who come in here, they shouldn't feel rejected. They should feel welcomed and eventually loved. And then when they come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, they'll become part of the family. Look at the person next to you and say, you're my family. Now, maybe that's not so hard with the person sitting next to you, but perhaps someone sitting a row behind or a row in front, that's a little harder.
I know, okay, thank you.
Family. You know, the thing about family is you can't choose who your family is. God has brought us together. He has chosen each and every one of us to be part of this church at this time. Perfect. He was thinking perfectly. Now we don't think perfectly. We are tainted, we're damaged. Sin has affected our thought processes. The world affects our thought processes. And the world might want us to welcome things that God rejects as unholy or unwholesome. And when I say we welcome everyone, that doesn't mean we condone everyone's actions. We don't condone what some people think is right. But through opportunity to share the truth of the Word of God, hopefully people will be pointed in the right direction. The Holy Spirit will speak to them and they will be changed and transformed. You know, Jesus never welcomed people to then leave them as they were. He always welcomed them so that they could be transformed or changed. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, we are told this. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. This is all about empathy. This is all about love. This is all about being there for one another. And while someone may not be in a physical prison, in the 21st century, there are many things that imprison people. People's minds are imprisoned. People's lives are stifled. There is not the freedom that there once was. Though the world perhaps would suggest there's more freedom now than ever before. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom to embrace him as our Lord and Saviour. Freedom to have a place in heaven because of what Christ has done for us. And that freedom is needed by everyone in this world who's currently heading to a lost eternity. The truth is that Jesus saves. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The Hebrews, it was written to Jewish Christians who were under persecution. They were tempted to withdraw themselves into safe, familiar circles, to kind of step back and not be confrontational. But here they are commanded. They're commanded to keep on loving. They're commanded to show hospitality. Not that hospitality, that's not mere politeness. Hospitality is a sacrificial welcome. It's a sacrificial love that we're talking about here. And as the writer hints, when we welcome strangers, we may even be welcoming angels unaware. Think of the story of, or the narrative of Abraham back in Genesis 18. He was willing to actually serve, to provide, to show hospitality. Would we do the same? If someone turned up at the door right now, would we, if we saw that they were in need, would we drop everything to help them? Oh, but we're in the middle of a service and we're here to worship. Well, isn't serving God and serving others part of our worship?
Yeah,
if our program gets interrupted because someone is in need, we need to respond. And that's not just when we're in church. We could be interrupted during our normal working day. Somebody could call you at 3 a.m. in the morning and they're in need of prayer, in need of support. For some, the nighttime hours are the worst. For some, that's when thoughts creep in. For some, that is when things that they don't want to welcome into their lives assault their minds. Would you be there for someone at 3 a.m.? Would you welcome a call from someone who said, oh, I'm really not feeling well. Could you just pray for me? Would you welcome that call and pray for that person? Often our culture values comfort over connection. oh, but yeah, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I've got to be up early because, well, tomorrow's Monday and oh, if I don't get my 6, 7, 8, 15 hours sleep, I'm horrible. And, you know, I haven't even had a cup of coffee at that time. We value our comfort. Perhaps we need to think more about the comfort that others need. We need to be thinking about presence, not just privacy. Okay, the British way, you know, we don't talk about things, do we? We've got a stiff upper lip. The world may be going absolutely crazy. We may be going through the worst situation in our lives and someone says to you, how are you? Wow. I'm fine. We may say we're fine, but we're screaming on the inside. And really, really what we should do is welcome that someone cares. And someone else should welcome us caring for them. This isn't rocket science, is it? Charles Stanley said this, "The church is not a club for saints, it's a hospital for sinners." If this is true, then hospitality is perhaps the ambulance that brings people in. We're doing lots of hospitality this autumn. We are providing lots of opportunity to invite people in to develop friendship. Yes, where possible, we're sharing the gospel. But what we are doing is we're sharing a welcome, we're sharing love, we're sharing to gain an opportunity that others will trust us enough to speak truth into their lives. If hospitality is the ambulance, are you willing to drive that ambulance? Are you willing to actually invite people in so that they can be welcomed? What are we welcoming them to? First point, the banquet of grace. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. I'm not reading the whole passage, just picking bits out from it. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbours. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Go quickly into the streets and alleys, so my house will be full. There are those in this world who perhaps they think they have status. Perhaps they think that the best thing that they could ever do is presence themselves with Christians like us. Oh, they do things for charity. I can write it off as a tax break. I'll go along. Then there are others who are humble. There are those who are of a contrite heart. And they, when asked the question, would you come, so they'd say things like, what, me? You're inviting me to your church? You're inviting me for a meal? You want to spend time with me? We live in a broken world, don't we? We live in a world that looks at the screen and sees perfection. It's fake, it's AI generated, it's photoshopped. And anyone that's less than perfect, oh, influencers aren't interested. Many in the world aren't interested. There are those that just want to be seen with a certain crowd, seen with a certain group. Friends, there are those that need to be seen in the presence of God. There are those that need to hear that God loves them, to hear that God cares for them. There are those outside that need to be invited in. And we're told to go quickly. Okay, controversial bit. There are those in this world who have done the calculations and believe that Jesus is returning somewhere between September 22nd and September 24th. Bible says no man knows the hour. But what if Jesus is returning in the next couple of weeks? Who is there in your family that you've put off inviting into the banquet? Who is there in your sphere of influence that needs to know that Jesus loves them and accept him as Lord and Saviour before he returns? Because when he comes back, it will be too late. Now, I'm not going to speculate on whether somewhere between the 22nd and the 24th of September is accurate. I'm not. But none of us know when we're going to step into eternity. Any one of us could be called home right now. And instead of being brought into the banquet of God's presence, we will spend eternity away from him if we don't know him as Lord and Saviour. So who have you put off inviting to the banquet? Who is there that you know that needs to be saved? When Jesus here is speaking at a Pharisee's table, he's turning the social ladder upside down when he speaks these words. The Greek that's used here, kaleo, for invite, it would suggest to invite for gain. But Jesus rejects inviting for gain. Instead, he is saying invite for kingdom gain, not personal gain. It's not about seeking something in return. Oh, if I invite someone in, then Jeff will think I'm a nice person. If I invite someone in, then that will make Lloyd and John Luca happy. No. Who do you love enough to invite that needs to hear truth for themselves? The great banquet that Jesus is speaking of here, that represents the gospel invitation. Israel made excuses. The Hebrews made excuses. The Pharisees would have made excuses because, oh no, those people are not worthy to be at the table. But here, when invited, the outcasts came. When invited, those who felt like they shouldn't be there went. There is a story of a minister who once invited a group of homeless men to Christmas dinner at his church. And I'll be honest, a lot of the church members and regular attenders, they frowned. They were upset. Why would the pastor invite these people into our church? Why at Christmas would our minister host these people? Surely there's somewhere else they could be. The minister invited the homeless. The church rang with carols. And the table that was there was full. For the first time in years, the church was full on Christmas Day. And those that were homeless, those that were rejected by society, they felt like honoured guests. They felt like someone cared. They felt that someone had shown love to them. Maybe we could do something like that one year. Friends, this is a glimpse of heaven. It's a feast where the unworthy, i.e. us, are seated with a generous host. We're unworthy of our salvation. We're unworthy of the grace that is shown to us. But God, because of his love for us, has offered us a place at the banquet table. Maybe in the 21st century, hospitality is something that people only do with people in their network, people that they want to network with. Maybe it's done a lot more now for business or personal gain. But we're meant to be hospitable because we're showing God's love, not about what we gain. Jesus says, invite those who can't repay you. Jesus says, invite those that others reject.
Ooh.
There was a time in your life when someone invited you to church for the first time. There was a time when you didn't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You might have grown up in church. You might have been sent to Sunday school. You might have thought your parents were sending you there on a Sunday afternoon because they wanted you to learn about Jesus. Not they just wanted a couple of hours peace. Jesus invites all. Tim Keller wrote this: the gospel creates a new kind of hospitality that doesn't focus on similarity, but on grace. We are not all the same, but we should welcome all in the same way. We were welcome. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were his enemy, when we didn't even know who he was, he sacrificed himself for us. Friends, in many ways, it's like we're beggars that were invited to a king's table. We didn't deserve to be there, but the doors were opened and we were welcomed in. Who were we welcomed by? The God who welcomes sinners. Luke 19, 1 to 10, again, just picking out specific verses. The story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, Jesus said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Hands up if you like the tax man. It was the same back then. Tax collectors, they were hated. Most of them were corrupt. They were wealthy, but they were kind of empty on the inside. Some would probably say the same about tax collectors in the modern world, but they're not as ruthless as they were back then. And Jesus, in the Greek, day, I must. It's a divine necessity. I must be in your house today. I must be a guest in your house. Jesus has a divine mission. Jesus wants those that are lost, those that are far from him, to come to know him. And his presence in Zacchaeus' home, it brings repentance and restitution for all of those that Zacchaeus had wronged. Imagine the mafia boss walking into our church and I say to him, or John Lucas says to him, lunch at my house today. You'd think we were mad. But that is the scandal of grace. That is the madness of God's grace. The ones who don't deserve it are invited in. The banquet invitation in the Old English, it says, go out to the hedges, go out to the edges, go to the places where the lost are hiding and bring them in. I've used this quote many times. Max Lucado says, God loves you the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Aren't you pleased that God doesn't leave us alone? He doesn't force himself on us. He is a gracious God. But he calls us to freely choose to follow him. He calls us to freely accept him into our lives. When we provide hospitality in Christ, it's not about affirming sin. It's about creating a space where transformation can begin. It's about giving people the opportunity to trust and encounter Jesus for themselves. Why? Because that breaks down barriers. People have this weird idea about the world. In the world, people have weird ideas about us. And there are some very strange people in some churches. I'm not going to name any of them, but hey, you've probably met a few over the years. We're not perfect, but as the barriers are broken down, we have opportunity to speak, to share, to love, for his honour and for his glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter, he received this vision. And Peter's admonished, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Friends, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were unclean in the sight of God. But when we trusted in Jesus, we were clothed in his robe of righteousness. Our sins are forgiven us. And we're told in the word that God remembers them no more. God knows everything, yet he chooses not to remember what we've done wrong. And all of our sins, past, present and future, are dealt with because of the cross. When he talks about Jews and Gentiles here, Gentiles, those are the ones who were once outsiders. Xenos in the Greek. Those people are now fellow citizens. We are one in Christ. Regardless of what our background was, when we came to Jesus, we were adopted into the family of God. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave nor free, man nor woman. That doesn't mean that we're all suddenly genderless or identityless. What it means is we are all equal. All of us. Doesn't matter if you've got the best singing voice in the room. Doesn't matter if you are an aspiring sermon writer. Doesn't matter if you climb up ladders and paint walls or preach the gospel from the pulpit. We are all equal and we are all invited to the banquet of grace, and together we break down barriers for his kingdom. The cross, in many ways, it's a demolition site. Christ tore down the wall that divided us from the Heavenly Father. The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. A new covenant was made. If we're honest, in the modern world, there is prejudice. It could be racial, it could be cultural, it could be class-based. But prejudice is meant to be something that's placed at the foot of the cross. Prejudice is not something that should survive in the modern church. There may be some people that we like more than others. There may be some people that we listen to more than others. But friends, we're called to love one another, and we're called to love the world and to welcome in the lost. Maybe there's those who are hostile against Christians. This week, with what's happened at Charlie Kirk, I've heard people say that the reason why Charlie Kirk was shot was because he spoke about hate. I've watched his videos. There's nothing hateful about what he said. With logic, with love, with the word of God, he spoke truth. And I pray that the legacy that he leaves, others will continue to listen to that truth, and that lives will continue to be changed and transformed because the gospel will continue to be spoken. Our Lord himself said that we would face persecution, that we would face difficulties. And I'm sure that Charlie probably never expected to be shot by a sniper, but he was willing to sacrifice himself for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whatever the danger, whatever the cost, he was willing to pay it. In Britain, people are divided by views on migration, politics, class, culture, all of those things can spark conflict. But friends, the church must be the place where the walls come down. The church must be the place where there is the equal playing field. The church must be the place of welcome, or there's no point us being here. I'm not talking about faith by works. What I'm talking about is the reward of a true welcome. Jesus, in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, he said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Harvest is coming up soon. We'll be doing the Harvest Collection, the Harvest Cafe, we'll have Harvest services. And it's our intention, with the produce that is brought, to help those who are hungry, to help those who are homeless, to help those who are destitute, to say, hey, someone cares about you, and his name is Jesus. Just like we participate with Operation Christmas Child, we seek opportunities to ensure that the gospel is shared, to ensure that the love of God is spoken. And yes, we may disagree with people's lifestyles, but they need a saviour just as much as we did. The reward that's here. In many ways, this is a glimpse of final judgment. Hospitality is not the means of salvation. Hospitality is a fruit of the fact that we have been saved. We've been set free, and all of us have been given gifts. And what simpler gift could we give to someone else than when they're hungry, we feed them? What simpler gift could we give when someone arrives that's a stranger than to welcome them in? You know who's the least of all? We are. We are the least. In scripture, there's a request that is given that we may decrease, that he may increase. That should be our desire. That should be our prayer. That should be what we ask God to do. That our egos and our personalities would get out of the way. And that our reward would be to see others know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And again, when we welcome a stranger, it's like we're welcoming Christ himself. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37, there's the story of the Shunammite woman. She welcomed Elisha with a meal and a room. God rewarded this woman with a miracle. The son that she longed for was given. Then he was raised from the dead. Can God perform miracles like that today? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do we have faith that he will?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe. Instead of believing in an all-powerful God, we kind of reshape God in what we expect. God is a God of miracles. And us showing simple hospitality to someone could be the doorway to that person experiencing a miracle in their own life. Our door should always be open. And friends, we weren't just strangers. Before we knew Jesus, we were rebels. Romans 5:10 says that for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sin, for mine, for the sin of all who will believe in him. He was buried, but he rose again. And through repentance, metanoia, through turning around and through faith, through a trusting reliance in Jesus, we are no longer outsiders. We are in the family of God. We have become part of a family that is bigger than the people in these four walls. A worldwide family. So how do we practically apply what we've heard this evening? How do we go and welcome? First thing I'd suggest is that you examine your circle of friends and family. Who is it who feels welcome in your home? And who is it that feels unwelcome? Who is it that you could invite into your home, into this church? Who is it that you need to invite into your own heart that you would show more care and love to them? And open your home and your calendar. Hospitality is not about having perfect decor at home. It's about having presence. It's about being present with other people. Oh, but I've got a busy calendar and, you know, I've got work and I've got these social things that I have to do. And of course, I've got to sleep and you know, I need to go to the bathroom and I just can't fit anything else into my day. What if Jesus had said to you, I'll die for everyone else but you. I can't fit you in. I haven't got time for you. The rest of the world, yes, but not you. Don't reject what Jesus calls us to do. Don't find other things that are more important than showing your love for Jesus to someone else. And use hospitality evangelistically. Oh, but I can't invite someone to church. I mean, I've got friends who aren't believers and they think I'm weird enough as it is that I go to church. And if I ask them to go to church, they might not talk to me anymore. If you call someone friend, there must be some kind of relationship there. If you don't love them enough to give them the opportunity for salvation for themselves, are they really your friend? R.T. Kendall said this, hospitality is often the bridge God uses for his greatest works. The bridge. Will you build that bridge? Will you build a bridge for someone to walk over to discover Jesus for themselves? Friends, this week, don't just talk about welcoming others. Actually do it. This week, invite a colleague from work that, you know, the weird one who sits in the corner that no one talks to. Invite them to come. Visit your neighbour who perhaps lives alone. Share a meal, share a coffee, share a conversation, share life with someone who needs to know there's someone who cares. And friend, this evening, if you have yet to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, Jesus is knocking at the door and he wants you to welcome him in. He won't force his way into your life. You need to ask him in. We do that by repenting, by turning from our sins, and all of us are sinners. That's how we're born. The Bible says there's no one righteous, not even one. All of us fall short of God's standard. Yet he calls us to come to him. And he says, come and I will forgive you. I will give you eternal life. Welcome Jesus to your heart this week. Friends, may the God who welcomed you while you were still far away, may he fill your heart with love. May he fill your heart with mercy. May you be a light in the darkness. And may you always welcome others in the name of Jesus. Amen.